Our Lenten series this year, Sharing Our Light, it invites us to heed the wisdom of Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, whose work studying death and dying led her to make this profound statement. People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out, but when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is a light from within. You know, as we prepare for the stained glass windows in our sanctuary to be restored and renovated and preserved, it seemed a good pairing to let our windows speak to us, sharing their scripture stories each week, guiding us through this conversation of what it means to share our light within. You see, all the while, these beautiful scriptures told to us through the glowing glass, all the while, their scriptures guide us in our own personal restoration, that we might reveal our true beauty by shining a light from within. Now, with only three big windows, you got Jesus knocking, you got Jesus the Good Shepherd, and if you're in the choir, you get to see Jesus praying in the garden, or the balcony people can easily turn around. If you haven't seen that one at some point in time, make sure you check it out. But with only three big windows and six Sundays in Lent, we had to look to some smaller windows. High atop our towers are windows that carry religious emblems and symbols, but they are windows that you can barely see even when you are looking for them. So we've brought them to you. Here's a couple here. Each week we get to sort of swap them out. And actually today as you come forward from communion, you should be able to see the beautiful glass as it's represented here on the altar. We've brought them down to you. And this week we find two windows that actually are housed up in the East Tower. Grapes and wheat. Now you will undoubtedly make the connection that these two windows make their appearance on a communion Sunday. Grapes and wheat. You see, communion, the sharing of bread and grape juice, is foundational to our Christian life and to our Methodist understandings of grace. If you haven't been here on Sundays when my sermons have focused exclusively on the meaning, history, and significance of this holy mystery that we share every month together, I would be very happy to share with you some of the conversation, copies of old sermons, anything. If you want to know more about communion, I would love to talk about it with you. But today, I'd really like to focus on the elements depicted in these windows, the grapes and the wheat that bring forth what we share at God's table when we take communion. Now, I tell you, I have always appreciated what I can only call the communal nature of wheat. This wheat actually comes to us from a member of Holyoke United Methodist Church out on the plains. Wheat is communal. I mean, the bread that we eat reminds us of our connection to one another and our connection to God. But in its wholeness as a loaf, it can be easy to forget, especially in our let's just go to the supermarket and pick up a loaf of bread world, that it is made of countless individual parts, individual grains from beautiful stalks of wheat that stood independently and waved and moved in the field, but then were with great care brought together to then become something more. The act of creating bread is itself a metaphor for communion. But today, this morning especially, I find the deepest hope and meaning in the grapes. I want you to hear these words that'll be spoken in our communion liturgy in just a little bit. The juice that is poured into the cup is the product of continual love. Vines are not just left untended, but they are cared for and watched over and attended to. And though made up of many individuals, it is the same vine that brings them life. They are nourished by each drop of rain and each sunny day. This last week has been wrought with deep emotion and grief. Having experienced the death of two children from our congregation and their mother, there is a heaviness in our community. You need not have known Jackson and Cassidy personally to grieve the loss of their lives. Just as each week as we name prayers aloud, you need not know the person speaking it or the person they're talking about to feel a connection to what's going on in the world, because we're human together. and we feel these things for one another. Our hearts are touched as we recognize the difficulty that life can bring. We all, individually and as a community, experience dark times in life. And what's really trying is that in those dark times, when our inner light is needed most, often those dark times are when our light can grow weary and weak. Like stained glass windows, it's easier to sparkle when things are sunny. But the small, soft, glowing windows, especially this one with the grapes on it, it offers us encouragement and instruction for where to find life when life feels it's hard to find. Hear these words from John 15 as Jesus speaks. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you will abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. In our window and in our communion cup, we find examples of fruit that was born of the vine. The image that invites us to remember that we cannot find all the life that we need within ourselves. That truly to live and to flourish, we must be connected to something more. Now, in the metaphor of the vine, we discover a God that is a nurturing caretaker. The earlier verses in chapter 15 speak to God removing and pruning away the parts of our lives that do not serve us so that we can put our energy and effort into the things that bring forth goodness in the world. In our scripture today, we're also given a clear image of Jesus as the one who not only brings life as a vine does, but as the one who connects us to one another. Though it will sound obvious when said aloud in succession, it is often overlooked that community and communion are almost the same word. Exactly. When we celebrate communion, we are remembering that God has called us to be one, to function as a connected community, alive and flourishing together, sharing in life. I'd love to hear botanists talk of the dynamic ways that plants create energy. Photosynthesis is awesome. But these amazing facts about how plants don't need every part of themselves to contribute energy and sustenance, depending on the time of day or the season or clouds in the sky, changes in the environment, or just a person standing over them appreciating their beauty, some parts of a plant cannot offer the same energy that other parts do. But the plant compensates, and it sends nourishment and energy to the places that are in need. In fact, it allows the parts that receive lots of sun to share so that they don't have too much. It's a balance so that life is present for all. If a leaf has a shadowy day and cannot produce enough energy to survive, it does not die. Because the vine brings it not only enough to survive, but even enough to bear fruit. And in turn, that place will offer back when it can. And so it is for each of us. Our connection to one another through God's love allows us to uphold and nurture one another in difficult times, to provide what others feel they don't have within them, to be there and be connected. You know, Jesus even spoke of the cup as his life poured out for us. This table, this place of grace that we gather, is a reminder that when our inner light feels weary, life will be poured out into us through the blessings of communion with one another and with a God who knows our soul's need. This is the grace in which we will be renewed and restored, for we are not alone. Amen.